I want to pass greetings on down the line to the churches now that's hooked up across the state. We're on the telephone hookup, which is a fine little system that we have been able to get through our brother Perry Green from Beaumont, Texas. And the church is completely, it's following the message all the way across the United States, is hooked up tonight. We send greetings up and down the West Coast, all the way from Vancouver down to Tijuana, Mexico, through San Jose, Los Angeles, all the groups over in there. We greet you from Freeport, also all the way to Prescott, Arizona, to the group up there that's waiting on the Lord. We send greetings to you and to Tucson, also Sierra Vista, all the way to New York, up and down across the nation. The Lord bless you, each one. Wish you were here tonight, this beautiful old state of Louisiana, where it seems like a second home to me. You know, you people up in New York, you know, I'll kind of laugh at you a little bit the way you talk. I'm right at home tonight. Everybody down here is yours. Said, hello, Dad, Brother Branham. You bring Sister Branham and all the young ones to come over to see us. Oh, my, that makes me feel good. That's real English to me. Not disregarding you people in the East and in the North and different places, but, you know, I guess I was just born an old Reb and have to stay that way. I kind of like it myself. It's real English. Amen. I was at a businessman's breakfast here not long ago, and they said, we will now stand and sing the national anthem. And I stood up and said, for my old Kentucky home, far away. Well, to me, that was the national anthem. That's all I know about it. So we send you greetings. Now to the... I believe they are going to try to broadcast the breakfast also, the businessman's breakfast, Saturday morning. Brother Green will tell you as is at the microphones out there now. So he'll tell you what time the breakfast starts and what time each night to tune in. We thank you very kindly and pray for us. Now to the local assembly here, and Brother Jack's Tabernacle, just going to ask you a favor tonight. Being that I was going to give my Thanksgiving message across the nation tonight to our local churches that's following the message, in this I may be a little lengthy, and then again I may preach some doctrine. So if so, and if you don't agree with it, just like I always said about eating cherry pie, when I run into a seed, I don't throw the pie out, I throw the seed out. Just keep on eating pie. So if I happen to mention something tonight, it's one reason I took this invitation tonight to be here to bring my Thanksgiving message to the groups across the country, was because Brother Jack always so freely opened his door and says, preach what's on your heart. So I feel real at home. Right. So it may be that in here, in the local assembly here with Brother Jack, there might be ministers and some people that would disagree with doctrine. Usually I have the courtesy not to mention doctrine in a man's pulpit that has invited me to come speak for him. So after tonight, I suppose I'll just be praying for the sick and doing the regular service. But I thought I would let you know beforehand that if something that I say that might be disagreeable, well, just allow it to my ignorance, I guess, and know no better, and pray for me. Now let us turn in the Word to a chapter here that I wish to refer to many places tonight, because I've got several scriptures and little notes wrote out here in a tablet. I remember the first time I climbed on the platform at Life Tabernacle 20 years ago, I didn't have to write down my scriptures and reference. I was just 20 years younger then, but now I've done past 25, so I'm the second time. So I can't remember it like I used to. I have to write my scriptures down and sometimes brief down something other I want to refer to. And now, the Lord bless as we read out of God's Word and the book of Romans, the 7th chapter. Now, I want to kind of teach this like a Sunday school lesson. I know there's people standing and at the Tabernacle, usually at Jeffersonville. We want to greet you all tonight, too. Know that you're hooked up there at the Tabernacle. And it looks like being at the Tabernacle tonight, if you were down here, the people around the walls and overflowed. Now, I suppose you're that way, too, to all the people that's up in that part of the country that come in for the message. Now, we are going to use this like a Sunday school lesson. And it's not directed to anything, any certain persons or anything, just to the church, the body of Christ. That we're trying to lead to deeper thoughts and higher objectives, believing that the coming of the Lord Jesus is at hand.
Amen.
We believe that. Much more, it's 20 years closer than it was the first time I come to Shreveport. Oh, so much has happened since that time. Now we're looking forward for the coming of the Lord in our generation.
Amen.
I'm not looking for revival in our generation.
Amen.
I'm looking for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
In our generation. Now in Romans 7, trusting that you have your Bibles open everywhere now across the country, we want to read closely. Now this message out of here, it seems like it's on marriage and divorce. But it really isn't. To me, it's a prophecy for the church in the last days. Let us read. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she is married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be joined, or should be married to another, even to him who is risen from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And now let us pray. Dear God, we have just read what we believe to be the sacred Word of God. And that's what we are believing, that not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from this until all is fulfilled. And we believe it. Our Lord told us in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, that whosoever shall take one word from it or add one word to it, the same as part will be taken from the book of life. And we see that by misrepresentation of this word, as Satan misrepresented it to Eve, caused her to doubt one word through the whole human race into a fallen chaos. Just one word. Then we see in the middle of the book came our Lord and Savior, and he gave us this quotation concerning it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the solemn warning in the last book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall add a word or take a word away, his part will be taken from the book of life. Oh God, knowing, seeing how fragile we are, knowing that we're walking on the brittle threads of life, of this mortal life, not knowing what time that we're going to be summoned to answer on high. Let us, O Lord, lay aside everything in our hearts, everything in our minds, and look straight to your word tonight, and for you to come and interpret it with living oracles. Granted, may your Spirit fall upon us and anoint the word to our hearts, that we might go from here this evening better people than we are now, and we might have a closer insight on Jesus Christ. Grant it, Lord, that we might understand the day that we're living in and the preparation of God for His people in this hour, this great, crucial, dark time that we're now living in. God, anoint us, not only speaker, but hearer, and together make our hearts to tremble at your word. For the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Grant these things, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to title these few remarks that I was going to make here and some scriptures that I would like to follow up closely behind, if the Lord willing, to the Thanksgiving message. To the invisible of the invisible union of the bride of Christ. The invisible union of the bride of Christ. It doesn't sound like a Thanksgiving message, though any scripture, we're thankful for all of it. I am thankful to God to be living in this time of the closing scenes of this world's history. I don't know if I would have had a say-so before the foundation of the world, and God would have laid out the whole program to me and said to me, I want you to preach. Now, what age do you desire to go to the earth to preach? I would have chose this age. For I think this is a golden age. I certainly would have loved to have been here during the time of His visit to the earth. But still, I think this right now is a greater time. Because it's a time that He's coming to take the people that He's redeemed near the resurrection, when all the redeemed will come forth. What a glorious opportunity we have to speak to a dying people.
Amen.
Great time. We are enthused about it. And we know that history is closing out. The world's history will soon be over. Then we're going to step into a new day, to the great millennium. That, as one believer, I believe in a millennium.
Amen.
A millennium.
Amen.
Reign with Christ, 1,000 years upon the earth.
Yes.
The physical return of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
To take a physical people glorified by His cleansing blood. Paul here is given an illustration in our scriptures about the law and grace, and illustrating it like marriage and divorce. This passage is very seldom preached on because it's more or less pertains to, like, marriage and divorce, but it also pertains to a greater portion of marriage and divorce, of how that He's trying to set an order here that we, as a church, can no more be married to the world and to Christ at the same time and be legal and lawful about it than it can be for a woman to be living with a husband while she's got a living husband. And I have my own thoughts of that, and I believe that what the Bible says is the truth.
Amen.
But I believe also is to my belief that it unfolds one of the great mysteries of prophecy. And I hope that the Lord will help us tonight as we deliver this to our waiting people across the country. It was said one time, I was reading, when I was writing the note for this, I could not exactly remember the book that is in, but I'm sure this is right, that one of the books I read on Mr. Moody, Dwight Moody, in Chicago. We have a great listening church in Chicago also tonight. That Mr. Moody, after reading Romans 7, ran into the street, and the first man he met, he said to him, "Do you know grace?" And the man replied, "Grace who?" Mr. Moody said, "The grace of God." So it so thrilled him when he seen that how grace had separated us from the law, and how that what part grace played. Anything that I want to do is, when I always told the people when I crossed the line on the other side, I like to stand up and sing "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound that Saved a Wretch Like Me." Grace, precious grace, more of grace to know. For it's by grace we are saved. Not by what we can do. Whatever we do is not counted to us. Grace is what saves us. By grace are you saved through faith. May I add to this woman grace? May I place her in the Bible also as called the elect lady? This Miss Grace I'm going to talk about. You know, the Bible declares that to the elect lady. If you notice, elect come from the word elected lady. One lady amongst all the other ladies was elected, like the virgin was to bring forth the body of God on the earth. She was an elected woman. God chose Mary. And also God has chosen an elected lady, which is His bride. She's elected. I hope we're members of that tonight across the world, or across the nation, rather. The illustration here showing the relationship of bride to Christ, the elect lady, and how she was to be brought to Him, where she would come from, and how that she would be brought to Him. The church here in illustration that we got in view is illustrated by a woman, which a woman is always a type of the church. Because a church is considered a bride. A bride. She is the bride of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. Always, if you watch the conditions and the conduct of women, and you'll see where the church is. Now, some of these remarks may seem strange to some of you, but it's complementary to the message that I have from the Lord that I'm trying to get to the peoples. You watch everything in the natural, how it's happening, nature, and watch it. It runs true with the spiritual also. Now, if you'll see the conduct of women in the world today, watch the conduct of the worldly church today. Just watch. Of course, now, there's also the conduct of the spiritual bride, the church. See? Watch that also. Because the natural so-called claim to be bride. Now, please let me say again to the local assembly, don't feel bad now. I'm speaking to all across the country, to what I think the elect lady. So if there had to be ministers in here that doesn't agree, well, just hold your peace for a little while. See? Notice, just listen. Notice this character. When you see women just go on the rampage, or just doing anything they want to do, watch, the church is doing the same thing.
Amen.
Notice. But watch when the spiritual bride, when she begins to have a revival, when she begins to come back and line herself up with the Word of God, watch then again, you see, how that the Scriptures, at that time, there'll be a message sweep out to catch that bride.
Amen. Amen.
Gets that woman elect.
Yes.
For as the world, Satan, the deceiver who deceived the first bride, to sinning against the God by misbelieving His word. And now today, as we see the church natural in their intellectual gospel going further and further away from the word,
amen,
in social gospel, we find that the women of the world on the streets, members of such, is carrying themselves in the same atmosphere.
Amen.
You can't tell them they've lost all sense of common decency.
Amen.
That people have.
Hallelujah.
And that's the way the church has.
Yeah.
And you can see it going straight to the ecumenical council just as certain as anything in the world and right into Rome as hard as it can go.
Yeah.
See? Because it's prophesied and there she is. That's her behavior. But then watch again to the spiritual church. How that group of people called out, the elected, through every revival, in Martin Luther, it happened the same way in the Reformation. It happened the same thing in the time of John Wesley. It happened the same thing when Pentecostals first started. They dropped them women right back in line with the Word. And then they drift away. There she goes right back over into chaos. But then the time that the people are ready to line up, there is a message comes forth and they line with it. Luther was a messenger of one day, of justification, and the church lined right with it. Some of them. The rest of them continued on. Wesley come with sanctification. The church lined right with it. Pentecost come with the restoration of the gifts. The church lined right with it. The elect of that day, and then faded away. Went right back off in denominationalism and went right out with the rest of them. All of them right down along the line. Now, but you notice, when the people begin to try to line with the Word, there comes a fresh message from the Word of God right straight to the people. And they catch that message and line up every time. It's just in God's... We have that. We have families. Every family in here is accustomed to that. Sometimes everything will run fine for you for years. Then all at once you'll hit a spell where... We say it many times in the South here, when it rains, it pours. And everything goes wrong. You're going through a night time. Then there's a daybreak. Then a night time. Everything runs in continuity. The prophet Paul here is saying that a woman cannot remarry until her first husband is dead. She cannot remarry as long as her first husband is living. She, by no circumstances at all, she must remain single as long as her first husband's living. And if she should do such a sin, she shall be called an adulteress. I'm speaking of the natural now to type it with the spiritual. If this woman would commit such a sin, then she is marked an adulteress if she has two living husbands at the same time. Therefore, she has forfeited by doing this her rights to God and heaven. By doing so, she sure has. She is an outcast from the economy of God according to the scriptures that I've just read. So is the church when she tries to mix creed and denomination with the Word of God.
Amen.
She can't be married to a denomination.
Amen.
And be the bride of Christ at the same time.
Amen.
She's got to be dead to one or the other.
Amen.
The law says so here. There's plenty of laws in God's Word, and that's His law. Paul's speaking the same thing here. She cannot be married to a church of worldly creed and be the bride of Christ because she, one is contrary to the other.
Yeah.
Now remember, say, well, we believe this, but we don't believe that. If you're married to Christ, Christ is the Word of God.
Amen.
In St. John, the first chapter said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
And the same was made flesh and dwelt among us. Christ was the living Word. He always was the Word. He's still the Word. He always will be the Word.
Amen.
He was only the manifestation of the attributes of God. For He was the Son of God, and any son is the attributes of his father. And just as you were in the genes of your father, in the body of your father, when he was a young boy, you were in him, yet he could not have fellowship with you because he didn't know you. But then, through the bedding grounds of a mother, you were brought forth into the earth and become in the image of your father, then he could fellowship with you. And so were you sons of God and daughters of God before there even was a moon, stars, or a molecule. You were sons and daughters of God. For you are only the physical manifestation of the attributes that was in God at the beginning. For there's only one form of eternal life, and that was you before. You don't know nothing about it, neither did you know when you was in your earthly father. But you're manifested to, in his image. In the image of God, you are made, and you were manifested for the glory and the fellowship of God.
Amen.
And therefore, as sure as your genes had to be in your father before your natural birth, your spiritual genes had to be in God because you're an expression of the attributes of his thoughts before the foundation of the world. Right? No way around it. That's right. Now we notice, then that life being in you, God's life being in you from the foundation of the world. Now you cannot mix denomination, creed, with the Word because you're too contrary one to the other. That's exactly what Satan tried to do with his intellectual conceptions to Eve. He said, he admitted that God said it, but he said, surely you'll not die. See, and they believe that. And that's what creed has done tonight. Denomination has separated the people from the Word of God. Didn't Jesus say when he comes, you through your traditions have made the commandments of God of no effect to the people? And through our creeds, we have dissociated the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to anoint the Word of God that's laced out for this generation. We have separated the people so by denomination that they cannot have a chance to see it.
Amen.
Now God, every generation, he has a new part of his book. It all goes together. Like my body was built, I'm told it started in the spine. Well, it wasn't all spine. It went from that to ribs and from lungs and to hands and arms and feet and so forth. And it come on out to be the person that I am. And so was a God manifested in the beginning. And finally he was appeared as Jehovah, God the Father. Then he appeared as God the Son in Jesus Christ. Now he's appeared as God the Holy Ghost, the same God all the time. Three manifestations of the same God. Now, we find in this that each generation, God has allotted his word from the beginning, just like evolution came. Just like first thing God created probably was, let's say he created botany life first. Then he created animal life next. Then he created human life next. Kind of an evolution, rising higher. So has it been in God and his church. Justification under Luther. That's pulling his bride out now. He's creating his bride. Justification under Luther. Sanctification under Wesley, and so forth, you see. He's the evolution of the Spirit being given more and more because the body is building, coming to the head, which is Christ. The body of Christ. Now, she as a woman, if she is married to Christ, the Word, she cannot be married to a church denomination at the same time. For she's bound by it. She shall cannot live with both husbands at the same time. They're contrary one to the other. One is God sent, the other is man made. So they're contrary. He said, let every man's word be a lie, mine be the truth. God said that. Just as much contrary to one another as law was to grace, as Paul's speaking of here. One must be dead to have the other. And if she tries to mix them, she shall be called an adulteress. Oh, think of it. New York, Arizona, across the nation, think of it. God said if she's tried to be married to two at the same time, she shall be called an adulteress.
Amen.
What adulteress can enter heaven? Would God marry an adulteress? Certainly not. He asked us not to do it. She shall be called an adulteress. Then her children, if she is an adulteress, her children is illegitimate.
Amen.
Amen. Illegitimate. Amen. Illegitimate to what? Not to the church, but to the Word.
Amen.
She's illegitimate. What a picture of this Revelation 3 here of the last day Lady Osea church age. What an illegitimate group. What a denominational mix-up. Lukewarm.
Yes.
Carry on and call themselves Christians and deny the Word of God.
Amen.
Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof.
Amen. Hallelujah.
As the prophet said they would be. Marriage is the oldest institution in the world. Marriage was performed first and instituted in the Garden of Eden. A woman is entrusted with certain characters that she must not defile. A woman is trusted to that. There's not a creature on earth like a woman. There's no female dog. There's no female of any kind entrusted with the character that a woman is. A woman was not even in the beginning of the creation. Because God knew that she had fallen, all other females could not commit adultery. She's the only one that can commit adultery. If she'd been made like the original, that would have been discomplimentary to God's great wisdom. See, she was made a byproduct of a man. But because she was cast over in that side, she has also been given a sacred charge from God.
Amen.
For redemption. She's got characters that she must not defile. If she would mire them, she's defiled for lifetime. No matter how much she's forgiven, she can't be justified. I'll strike that in a little bit. Got a scripture on that in a few minutes. She can be forgiven for her defilement, but she cannot be justified in this life. It's always with her. Notice, now, she's been given this. She may be forgiven, but not justified. Her body is given to her a sacred trust from God. No female dog, no bird, no other animal, no other creature like that. No, she's the only one. By it, she is the reason it's so sacred. She is to bring forth life into the earth. Her body is the bedding grounds of life. Therefore, that's the reason she's given this sacred trust. Now, here's where you may disagree, many of you theologians. That's what defiled the whole human race, is that adultery at the beginning.
Amen. Amen.
Her bedding ground was marred. She brought forth those twins, Cain and Abel.
Amen.
One act, two children.
Amen.
Search the scriptures.
Amen.
Notice, now, we find that her body is a bedding ground, and therefore it's a sacred trust not to defile that. Now, I'm speaking now, bringing this to an illustration to show you where the church stands.
Yes.
I'm not speaking of you women, whatever you are, that's between you and God or you man, but I'm speaking of the church and Christ.
Amen.
Now, this she is given to bring forth life that only God Himself can give. Her husband might be the germ bearer, but God has to produce the life.
Amen.
That's right, it has to come, all life has to come from God. Any life has to come from God. It's perverted, and that's what makes it sinful, but life has to come from God. He's the author of life.
Amen.
Now, she has a sacred one. I want to name three things here that she must not get away from. Now, I'm speaking, keep the church in mind while I'm speaking this to the natural woman, as Paul is here in 7th chapter Romans. She has a sacred trust of virtue committed to her by her Lord. A certain virtue. Nothing else holds it but a woman. That's right. That's committed to her by God. She must not defile that virtue. If she even does something wrong, she must confess that to her husband before she takes her and make it right, the same as the church that was married to the law has to come also before Christ, before the second marriage. She has to confess that. If she doesn't and she lives with her husband for 10 years and then confess it, he has a right to put her away and marry another woman. That's the scripture. She has a sacred trust of virtue. It's been given her, trusted to her by the Lord. God gave her that virtue. Just as it was in the Garden of Eden, she said yes or no. She has a sacred trust of womanhood committed to her that she must not break. The womanhood I'm speaking of here is her conduct, her character around man. Not letting every man looks on these screens and see these movie stars kissing and hugging and slopping around over these women. A woman does that is of a bad character. She might be virtuous otherwise, but see, in her heart, when those glands, sex glands are in the lips, the man kisses a woman, he's actually potentially committed adultery. Sex glands are in the woman's lips and in the man's lips. He could kiss her on the hand, it wouldn't mix the sex glands, but the sex glands is in the lips. You see all this nonsense in the Hollywood today of all this slopping and loving around with women and so forth and little girls looking at all that. No wonder our morals are rotten and decayed and filthy. Because it's put before the children. Right, it has to be that way for the last days. Now keep the church in mind. She's kissing and slopping and mixing around and everything else but the Word. Let the devil and education and scientific searches and so forth, when scientific education and everything is absolutely contrary to God. The whole system of civilization we have now is absolutely antichrist. Educational system is antichrist.
Amen.
Civilization is antichrist.
Amen.
It's against God.
Amen.
You say against civilization, God will have a civilization one of these days.
Amen.
That won't have any death associated into it.
Amen.
This modern civilization come by Satan.
Amen.
I'll prove that to you if the Lord willing tonight out of the Bible. All these things are of Satan. Our new civilization will have none of this in it. She has this sacred womanhood. No wonder that man act around women the way they do is because women act around man the way they do. She characters herself out. You're the pair of shorts on and skin tight and man's clothing and things out on the street.
Amen.
Twisting around.
Amen.
No matter what she says, she might be as virtuous to her husband as she can be, but in the sight of God, she is an adulteress.
Amen.
Whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart.
Amen.
And she presents herself to be that. And that's exactly what the church has done with the world. Notice, that's committed to her sacred virtue, sacred womanhood, and then sacred motherhood. Honor her husband. Just look today. In certain cities, many cities, they even have big parties in what's called society. Church members, too. Set their hats in the floor and they all get drunk and pitch their keys into it. Each woman goes and picks a key out of the hat for the man she'll live with over the weekend. All kinds of such parties, which I've got so much to say here if the Lord willing, I haven't got time to go into it. Such a filth! And the church is just as bad.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Committing adultery with everything she has no business to be going into. She should stay with the Word.
Amen.
Buildings are all right. Hospitals are all right. All these other things are all right. Educational programs, that's all right. We have to live here. We have to read, write. That's one of the economies. Like, we weren't supposed to put on any clothes at the beginning. I'll preach on that later this week. Lord willing. But we have to wear clothes because God gave us clothes. But in the beginning, we didn't need them. We were veiled. Now she's veiled to her sin. She don't even know she's sinning. And she was then by the... Now she's veiled by the devil, then she was veiled by God. The difference of it. Now we find out that she's been given this sacred trust that she must not break of womanhood. Act, have her character, raise her children, be honorable to her husband. Nowadays they pay a bit more attention to it than nothing in the world. You ought to sit in my office sometime and see men bringing their wives where they try to get right with God and confess of all the men they live with and everything else since they've been married.
Amen.
Oh, you say, that's Pentecostals.
Mm-hmm.
The others won't come. So I'm speaking of how it can get away when you get to mixing up with the world and the church and all the fashions and things that we have. We're no more like the original Pentecost was than day is from night.
Amen.
We've drifted off somewhere into some dark chaos somewhere and lost. What a sacred trust. What a responsibility to a woman. Now, see why she's a type of the church? Which has the same responsibilities. As a woman has a sacred responsibility to her motherhood, to her virtues, to her husband, the church has a sacred responsibility to prayer into the Word, into Christ, just the same as a woman has. And as a woman drifts off with another man, when the church goes off on these institutional programs and building programs and schools and so forth, I have nothing against them. They're all right. They serve their purpose. But they're not. Jesus never said, go make schools.
Amen.
He said, preach the Word.
Amen.
That's where they neglect it. Not make institutions, hospitals, and so forth. Them's all right. But that's not the church's duty.
No. Amen.
Their duty is to preach the gospel.
Amen.
But we've done everything else but that. And we've drifted in just like Satan did, mix it up with some gospel, something else, and something else. Just got a conglomeration of nothing.
Amen.
Corruption.
Amen.
Even our whole, the whole world, what's the trend of the world? Reading Reader's Digest here not long ago where young girls are going through the menopause, and man, the change of life between 20 and 25 years old, they're going through the middle age. Corruption. Why? Because of scientific research of food and stuff that's broke down from the natural things we should put in our body. We are nothing but a bunch of dying corruption. Now that's what the church is also.
Amen.
It's in the same condition. She's a type. She has the same precious virtues by spirit given to her to preserve the spirit and the word and never commit adultery with anything of the world or anything. Stay virgin to the word as a woman is to stay virtuous to her husband. It's a sacred trust. To honor her Lord's word above every man-made creed, wisdom, denomination there is. The church is given that trust. If they say, well, my church, I don't care what your church believes. If it's contrary to the word of God, stay away from it. The Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. Mark 16 said, these signs shall follow them that believe. If a church preaches different from that, don't you die to that thing. Be born to get into the Word of God. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's how far it was to go. These signs shall follow them that believe in all the world and every creature that will believe. See how we got away from it? Sure. But she's responsible for it. But now, look what Hollywood has took the virtuous things from our women. I'm sitting here looking at a dear old woman, Sister Schrader. Many of the women here, back in Sister Moore over here, the older women. That remembers a few years ago, if their mother, or even them, would have walked out on the street the way some of these women walk today, church members, they'd have locked the woman up for being insane. She forgot to put on her skirt. Well, if it was insane then, it's insane now. Well, look, the whole world proves it's insane. Look at the murders and things that's going on now in the world. Insanity. The whole thing is coming to fulfill revelations. We may get to it this week. What are those hideous things? I'm not natural. That's spiritual things that make people scream for the rocks and the mountains and everything else to fall on. The complete, total insanity this world will go into right away. It's almost there now. Well, you see the footsteps of it. There it is. It's marching right out on the street, right down the church pews.
Yes,
total insanity. Do things that a human being wouldn't think of doing. You're being civilized. Look what Hollywood's done to the woman. Look how it is. It's robbed the sacred virtues of the woman. On and on we could go. See, all this she lost. How did she do it? Because there was a subtle instrument called the church.
Amen.
Like there was in the Garden of Eden. A subtle person. The devil walked into the church just like he did in the Garden of Eden and deceived her into it. She's deceived. The woman thinks she don't mean to be wrong. Eve didn't mean to do wrong. It wasn't willfully. But she, the Bible said in 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, she was deceived. And deceived is not when you willfully do it, it's when you're deceived into doing it. And that's just exactly what's happened today. She's been deceived by television, by magazines, by these people, all these fine things that they're going out on the street. Modern girls, they look at magazines and they look at pictures, they look on the street, they see the clothing in the shops. How Satan, that great instrument of hell, has come down amongst the people and deceived them into these things. And the woman thinks she's all right. And she's dead and don't know it. She's far from God. See how she lost all this and how subtle it was? Today, I want you to notice, Jesus spoke of it. Also, if you'd like to read it, Jesus made mention that this thing would come to pass. Did you know that? In his last hours, just before his crucifixion. Let's just read it. St. Luke, the 23rd chapter, and just for a moment, like a Sunday school lesson, begin with the 27th verse, I believe I got marked out here. Jesus going to Calvary. Listen as I read it. All right, St. Luke 23:27. I believe is where we have it. My note's got it that way. Yeah, here it is. And there followed him a great company of people and women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming that they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the womb that never bare, and the paths which never gave suck. Think today, the disgrace for to have a child. See? Then shall they begin to say, To the mountains fall on us, and high in the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall they do in a dry? Speaking of the day that when women wouldn't no more want children, they want a dog or a cat or something like that, but she don't want children anymore.
Amen.
Why? She's old Mother Hubbard if she has a child. See? She don't want, that's the remarks of Hollywood. You don't want his woman to be an old Mother Hubbard. So he'll have some operation performed himself or her one that'll keep her from having children. They don't want no children. Jesus spoke of it, and what did he say? At that time they'll begin to cry to the rocks and the mountains to fall on us. She practiced birth control so she can go to parties. She can't be bothered with a baby nursing her. It'll disform her. When she's pregnated, it'll be a disformer. She won't look like she used to. And her husband ignorant enough to let her go that way. She won't give him a child. Jesus spoke of it. And he said that when they've been doing this, at that time, they'll go to crying then for the rocks to fall on them. It's coming of the Lord. They pay great sums of money for cats, dogs to mother. That's right. She must mother something because it's a God-given nature to her. I notice a hunt. Big game. An old bear in the fall of the year when she has been bred to the male bear. She's got cubs that is born. They're pretty good sized cubs. Maybe weigh 100 pounds or better. She'll make them scat and hibernate to themselves because she's going to bring forth some more cubs. They're born in February. The bear knows nothing about it. They're born in little sacks. How that God has them open these little sacks themselves, like little cellophane sacks. They find their way around their mother sound asleep. She hasn't eaten anything since October, and this is February. They come around and nurse her to the middle of May. Then when she sees her cubs, they're pretty good-sized cubs, weigh maybe 10 or 15 pounds apiece. They've nursed her. Why she gets the milk, that's God's idea. She lives herself and produces milk for the cubs. And then if her breeding doesn't take, and she don't have any cubs, she'll hunt up them last year cubs and mother them all summer long. Because it's God-given instinct. She has to mother something. And if a woman won't have a baby for her husband, she'll take a dog or a cat or something.
Amen.
She's got to mother something.
Amen.
It's a nature. But to bear a child for a husband and raise it to the service of God, that's entirely all out of her line. She'd be so disgraced if she did by her sin-loving society of this 1965 type of women. A true picture of the modern church today. Neither does the modern church want any of these years screaming, shouting, tongue-speaking Acts 2:38 young'uns around her.
Amen.
She don't want any of them. moving and crying and screaming, amen, hallelujah. Well, such a child would immediately put her out of her denomination. They had one like that in one of the churches. Why, they'd throw her out right quick.
Amen.
Why do you let such stuff as this go along? So she's pregnant with something. Because she's bringing forth members all the time. But she don't want her them screaming, hollering, blabbering. Acts 2:38.
Amen.
Miserable creatures that she thinks they are. It would certainly embarrass her. It would ruin her and her educated, ethical, scientific society church that she belongs to. They'd throw her out of the next council. She can't have it. So she don't want to be pregnant with the Word, because that's the only kind that the Word can bring forth. Born to the Spirit of God, it has the Spirit of God in it.
Amen.
No intellectual church joining creed going, bobbed hair, painted face. Amen. There's no such a thing as that in all this. You don't find that in the Word of God. You find an old-fashioned, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled child born to the Spirit of God, screaming, hollering, shouting, praising God. That's altogether out of the reaches for her. She don't want that. Oh, no, sir. No, indeedy. What does she do then? So she brings forth a pair of painted face, short, wearing Jezebel society, illegitimate cats, they call them, I think it is. I think they call it cats. Look at that cat going there this day, or something like that, you know. She was born or married or connected with her first husband, the first Adam, by the adulterous wife of Eve. Adam's first wife. You say adulterous, she sure was.
Amen.
But oh, she claims that this Adam, this first Adam's dead. Oh, sure. He died a long time ago. I'm reborn again, she says. And I'm certainly married to the second Adam, Christ the Word.
Amen.
Now, notice what she loves. What's her lover? You don't see who she's in love with. The Word says this, but she said, my church says this. Then who's she in love with?
Amen. Amen.
Who is her husband?
Amen.
Her own fruits prove what she is.
Amen.
Exactly right. Shows what she is. Notice, she was born first to Adam, because that's her natural birth. See, and she never left that. That's a lover of the world. She claims that she's born the second time to Christ. But her lover, notice, is Adam yet, because she loves the world. And another thing, notice what kind of children she's bearing. That tells what their papa is.
Amen.
Was first Adam or second Adam? If the church brings forth a child of the second Adam, he acts the second Adam's way of acting like he did on the day of Pentecost. That's the free, true second Adam's children. See? Right. Their nature is like his and hers. Yes, sir. Her daughters, painted face, bobbed hair, wearing
Amen.
Man's clothes, trousers. The Bible said for her not to do it.
Amen.
She cuts her hair, it's a shame to her. You say, shut up on that. That's what the Word says.
Amen.
I'm only pointing out nature.
Amen.
That's what she does. Her sons born out of her, rely upon education, schooling,
Amen.
Some Bible
Amen.
School, so-called.
Amen.
Some great college is supposed to be a long time ago. Hatch them out in some sort of an incubator style. Denominational seekers, religious Cain-like, just illegitimate to the Word as Cain was.
Huh?
Just as illegitimate as Cain was. Sir? Denominational seekers, you see what it is? God never did organize a denomination. He's always been against it and worked against it. But they hold right on to it. So you see what they're bringing forth? That shows who their papa and mama is. Exactly. It's exactly. Just as illegitimate as Cain was, that's kind of a child he brought forth from Eve. They got away from the Word, and they see what she brought. That's just exactly what the church has brought, the same thing. Can prove it to you by the Word. That's where education and civilization come through Cain. That's exactly right. For they claim to be sons of God. But they're denominational bred, denominational school scholars, everything else. That's exactly right.
Amen.
Subtle, smart, my, so was the serpent, her father.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Just as subtle and scientific creatures as Cain was.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing.
Yes, sir.
You say, Brother Bram, is that true? Turn to Genesis 4:16 and find out. Get back here to Genesis 4:16 just a minute, you'll find out how that happened. And Cain went from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enos, and he built a city and called the name of the city after his son Enos, on down to Turbulent, on down forth. They begin to come designers of instruments, music, and so forth. Civilization came by Cain.
Amen.
Right, building cities, instruments. Scientific man come by Cain, the serpent seed. Now notice the 25th verse. And Adam knew his wife again. Now he knew her once, and she had two children. Search the scripture.
Amen.
She had Cain and Abel. One act and two children.
Amen.
You say, they told me not long ago it couldn't be happening. We got a case in Hollywood. Hollywood. We got a case in Tucson right now, up in court. A woman gave birth to a colored child and a white child at the same time. They say she can't do it. She can't have two fertile seeds too. They got it right in court now. I know dogs will do it. Animals will do it. And she's got there, the white man said, I'll support my own child, but not him. And the woman made the confession. She lived with her husband that morning and the colored man that afternoon. If it's in the doctor says in the space of 24 hours, it'll happen if there's another fertile seed there. And there she did it. And that's exactly what happened here. Cain, Satan that morning and the serpent and Adam that afternoon, when she had two children. Now, Adam knew his wife again, the second time, and she bare a son. Remember, there's nowhere in the Bible that said Cain was Adam's son.
Amen.
Said he was of that evil one.
Amen.
Not Adam, the devil.
Amen.
Knew his the second time, and knew his son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she has appointed, that wasn't a real seed, appointed me another seed instead of Adam who Cain slew. So, and to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos, and then began man to call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Not out of Cain's generation genealogy, but out of Seth's genealogy. So Cain is the evil one. There comes the serpent. Now, notice, the Bible plainly says here that her first husband must be dead. Not just put away, he's got to be dead. I just got through preaching on marriage and divorce, and you all know about that. I'm not speaking out altogether this congregation here, but out across the nation. All right? Now, you see what happened there in marriage and divorce, when it's really the seven seals was opened, that brought out the real truth of it. So, to be married to the second Adam, Christ, the Word, you must separate yourself by death from your first denominational husband. Because there is no one of them that can take all the Word of God. Just show me where that one's at. Or you say mine, the other fellow says his too. Put them together and you find out you're both wrong. Here's your denominator. Read Revelation 17. So you see, you've got to be dead from that thing. Now, I'm not speaking this local assembly. I'm speaking all together across the nation. You must be dead to your first husband. If you're united to Christ and still married to a denomination, you're an adulteress.
Amen.
You're a Laodicea.
Amen.
A church across the nation, we are following Jesus Christ the Word.
Amen.
To be in the bride, you have to be remarried to the Word of God, which is Christ.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. As long as you hold to man's traditions of denominations, you are calling God's Word a adulteress. As long as you're a denominational creed seeker, belonging to a denominational church that denies the Word, you are an adulteress. But the Bible says. Jesus said you cannot serve two gods at the same time. You either serve God or mammon. Mammon's the world. He that loves the world, the things of the world, the love of God, not even in him.
Amen.
The seed of God can't be in him at the same time. The love of God, the love of the world's in there. When the seed of God is operating through you, that's the Word of God. The love of the world can't be in there at the same time. Now where's the short hair and the shorts and the painted face? Now where's it at? You can't be virtuous to Christ, the Word of God, and to serve a man-made denomination at the same time.
Amen.
It's contrary to the word Paul said here. What about Romans 7?
Amen.
Neither can you bear God's sons of His Word to this illegitimate denominational group. You cannot do it. your incubator, you cannot bring forth the word, Son of God, that I'm speaking to the church. But still you claim to be very religious. So was Cain, the prostitute Eve's son. Very religious. Built altars and offered sacrifice and paid his tithes and done everything that any other religious man would do. But he failed to keep that word. He failed to have the revelation.
Amen.
And the revelation is the only thing, the revelation of the word. What is the revelation? Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Faith is a revelation because faith has been revealed to you. Abel, by faith, offered by revelation. Faith offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Cain thought to eat apples. They still got that idea. But it wasn't. It was an adultery.
Amen.
Serpent seed. And there, when the seven seals opened, it declared it and proved it. My book's just out on it. I think we've got 1,000 here now. Notice that scripturally, from Genesis to Revelations, at the end time, both trees are coming to the seed and proving themselves. Here we are right today, Laodicea and the bride. Just as clear and pretty as it can be in the scripture right before your faces. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't be a virtuous, Bible-believing Christian and associate yourself in a denominational affair. You just can't do it at the same time. One's got to be dead, let the other live. Neither can you bear God's word, son. Neither can the church bring forth. You don't want one of them screaming children shouting and speaking in tongues and all them things. You can't do that. In a denominational church, they won't have you. They don't bring them like that. They take them up, shake their hands, and say, if you believe, you've got it. As long as you put your name on the book, that's all you have to do. See, it's illegitimate children to the Word. Still claim to be religious. So, impregnated with Satan's wisdom and knowledge, the church has become. They send their people away to school to learn how to say, amen, just right. They learn how to say all this and be very intellectual.
Yes.
What is it? It's pregnation of the devil.
Amen.
What did Satan pregnate Eve with? To disbelieve the word.
Yes.
For intellectuals, intellects.
Yes.
And it ruined the whole creation.
Amen.
That's exactly what she's done in the word today, the church. She's pregnated herself with Bible schools and colleges and things like that, reading, writing, arithmetic, and they don't know about God than a Hottentot would know about an Egyptian knight. They know all their creeds, their prayer books and everything else, but know nothing about God. They know when the Word is vindicated, when God spoke back there and lauded out His Word to each generation as it come along, here come Noah along and he preached that generation. Now what if Moses would have come along and said, let's build an ark? He'd been all out of style, but he was a prophet. He had the revelation of God. God vindicated it to be the truth. He brought the children about Israel out and showed the pillar of fire before him and vindicated the prophet and said just exactly what he would do, and he did it. They said, let not God speak, let Moses speak, lest we die. He said, I'll speak to him no more like that, but I'll raise him up prophets. And they'll speak. There stood Isaiah standing there, said, a virgin shall conceive, a man like him in a day one. How's a virgin going to conceive? Under us a son is born. A child is born, a son is given. His name shall be called Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father.
Amen.
Upon the throne of his father David, he'll reign, there'll be no end to his kingdom. How's it going to be? He didn't know. He just spoke what God said. It's beyond any imagination, intellectual. It's beyond any scientific research. It's a word of God. Now we school our seminary students and all kinds of Bible theology and things like that, man-made theology. It's got a bunch of church just exactly a Laodicea like God said it would be. Oh, my. And I look at that and it makes me shiver. 1 John 2:15, he says, if you love the world, the things of the world, the love of God's not even in you. So how can you be pregnated with the word of God which condemns the world? Condemns Hollywood. Condemns all of its fashions. Condemns all these parties and carrying on and so-called that they have in the name of religion. It condemns it. How can the word pregnate a person?